Welcome to YCS. Come join us for this morning's worship.
My heart can't contain the weight of your name and all Between us,
personal.
God with me, God for me, nothing can come against, no one can stand between us. God with us, God for us, nothing can come against, no one can stand between us. God with us, God for us, nothing can come against, no one can stand between us.
Spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathe your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me.
Love of God. Whoa.
deserve it till you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, breathless love of God.
Yeah.
Be lifted.
So look at somebody next to you and say, hey, you're looking good. And then you say, to God be all the glory. Come on. Hey, you're looking good. To God be all the glory. To God be all the glory. I was buying a piece of furniture, and as we were talking to the gentleman, he goes, man, you guys, you're believers, aren't you? And we're like, yeah. And he says, man, you can see the Lord in you. And you know, we turned around, to God be all the glory. To God be all the glory. And then I was like, Sherry, praise God. I was really nice when I walked in the door. Yeah, amen. Praise God. No, to God be all the glory. This is Brian and Brianna Coker and the crew. They just have a few things to share with you.
Good morning. It's awesome to be with you guys gathered here, glorifying our Father in heaven together. Ushers, if you guys can go ahead and come forward. So if you haven't been here in a while, or if it's your first time, if you could just raise your hand. Our Coffee Connect folks have like a little gift for you. We won't embarrass you. So if it's your first time, if you're a guest this morning, if you could just raise your hand, or if it's been a while, we have some stuff in the back for you. Anybody? Visitors? Okay. Amen. You guys have heard me say this before. One thing my parents impressed on me a lot was it's more blessed to give than to receive. So we're going to go ahead and pray over our tithes and offerings. Father God, we just thank you for the opportunity to give. Lord God, just following in your example, Jesus, to give without expecting anything specific in return, but just trusting you, Lord God, that you meet all of our needs. And Lord God, I thank you that, Father, we have increase, Father God, in Jesus' name, so that we all have a greater capacity to give in every way that you've directed us to and that you've called us to. And we thank you for receiving this, and Lord, we thank you. It's an honor to give in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we got a whole host of things going on this week. We've got the Prayer for York rally that's at Emmanuel Church, April 24th, Tuesday at 7 p.m. And that's at Emmanuel Church and Life Point Church on 2550 Pine Grove Road in York. So there's always a blessing when we gather, or two or more gather in his name. He's there in the midst. And I know that's going to be a blessed time. Also, we have on Saturday, May 26th, a Zumbathon youth camp fundraiser. I think the Hosses fundraiser went pretty well. Seemed like it went pretty well. Was anybody there at the Hosses fundraiser? That was a pretty good time, right? So this is going to be probably an even better time because it's Zumba. So in faith, I'll be able to do that someday. So anyway, yeah, so this is for ladies of all ages. The admission is $10 at the door. There's a $2 raffle, too. Doors open at 9:30 a.m. So I think there's a card that some of you guys should have. I think there's some in the back, too. So, ladies, if you're interested in that, this could be a really fun time, hanging out with your sisters in Christ. And also coming up on May 19th, Saturday, another opportunity to kind of gather is the York Workday, Saturday, May 19th. That's from 3 to 6 p.m., barbecue following, and bring a side dish. So there is a flyer in the back. So if you're interested in attending that and interested in bringing a dish, fill that out, drop it off in the coffee center in the back, and that'll be an awesome time. Oh, one other thing that I want to, if you haven't already had a chance to, I would encourage you to sow into Tammy Solomon's mission trip. I think it's not too late. If you haven't already done that, if you haven't already prayed, definitely pray for her. We're sending her to Ethiopia. That's May 8th. So that's coming up soon, so be praying for her. There's information in the back on the table still, I believe. So check that out. And
children dismissed.
Thomas, I know you're... get your calendars out. Write this down. Pastor D's cold. Put my jacket back on. That's got to be a first. I don't know I didn't touch the thermostat. I do. I know. Yeah. Yeah, write it down. This is once a year, maybe. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hey, this work day is, it's work, but we also have fun. It's just a good time to get to know with people. I can remember, how many of you remember the Jesus sign down at the bottom of the lot? Thank you, Jesus, we mowed over it. But prior to that, we would weed it, and I would be, just weeding with a bunch of people that I probably just said, good morning, good morning, good morning, throughout the year. But that day, man, we got to know about our kids, we prayed together, we just laughed together. So it's a good time just to get to know this community called YCF. Plus, you make me so happy because we do the honey-do list. And it's actually not my list. I walk around with Brenton and Adam. Adam, wave back there. Brenton's down in the nursery with his wife, Susan. But we make a list of things that just need to get looking spiffy. So you just make me so happy when we get to cross them off the list. Amen? Anybody know what a honey-do list is? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, baby. They're awesome. Oh, these women are licking. Yes, tell them. Okay. Praise the Lord. Before we start, I just have a really good report. How many have loved ones who have not received Jesus into their life? How many have neighbors that you know they have not received Jesus into their life? So we've been living in York, New Salem, little tiny loop of a street here. It's like this big loop. And for years, we just would go for a walk, and we'd pray for our neighbors. You know, we'd walking around, Father God, Father God. Just like this. For years and years, when we take a walk, Jack and I, and just still now, Father, send people who live and love really big to shine in their life. Send laborers, Father, to these people if they don't know you. Now, the funny thing, in my loop, anybody know where I live? Come on. Just drive the loop, walk the loop anyway. Actually, there have been in a season 4 ministers in this loop. And right now there's a guy across the street is retired. There's another new one around. There's 3 of us. It's just an interesting little neighborhood. But we have been faithful just, whenever I go for a walk to pray for my neighbors. And house number 1, 2, third one over, this couple, they ended by getting divorced. And one time I got their mail by accident. And it was about going to a seminar on witchcraft or something goofy. I said, oh, I'm praying. So I've lived there for 30 years. I've been praying for my neighbors. And that particular woman, I would see her walking her dog, and I'd run and so high, and she just would walk by me. And so that only made me mad, so I'm running out going, high. And it wasn't until 3 years ago, she used to have these big dogs, big things like this. And then she ended up with a little one. Looked like it shrunk. I said, what happened to your big dogs? And she says, well, they got old and, we had to put them down. And I was having problems, so I had to get a little dog. I said, cool, that's great. So that was the first time she talked to me. So if they don't talk to you, talk to their dog. They'll talk to you. It's remarkable. But this was 3 years ago, and so I'd go out and say hi, and sometimes I'd get a hi, and most of the time I didn't. And then one time she talked a little because I was talking to her dog. And so the short side of that story is this past November, she passed away. And her daughter had moved in with her with the guy who they did get married, and they were... found out they were taking care of her, and I did not know that. I knew she was having a little problems, but I didn't know what was going on. Well, yesterday, I'm out weeding. The first time I'm outside weeding, and right here, I'm just so happy I was just out there weeding. I get happy weeding, all right, because I have dominion over those things. I love cursing them, and I'm going out there weeding. And this young gentleman walks by, and he goes, hey, your front walk looks really nice. I was like, thank you. I finally got it fixed. I said, yeah. And then so he went, and he did the loop, and he came back. And we just started this conversation. It turns out he's a brother in Christ. He just loves Jesus. He's just glowing. And he mentions the lady 3 doors down. Guys, I'm going to cry. Don't you ever give up on calling
on the name of the Lord for people. Because what happened is he used to, he had had a neck injury and he was not working, and he's just fixing cars and lawnmowers at his house. And that lady drove by 3 years ago and said, "Hey, would you cut my lawn?" So for the last 3 years, this guy, and by the way, I can't remember his name. I remember his wife's name, but I can't remember his name. I'll just call him Charlie. So Charlie's been cutting this lady's lawn for the last 3 years. And he said, he had this old car, and a Nova. Where's Buck? Is that one of what? What does Buck have? A Camaro? What is it? Oh, a GTO. Like, I know cars. Anyway, he had this old Nova, and he had it restored, and he got it fixed, and he went up to the lady's house. Now, he's built a hello friendship. Hello, I'm here to cut your lawn. Hello, I'm here to cut your lawn. That was it. And so one day, he got this car fixed up, and he knocked on her door, and he said, "Hey, you want to go for a ride in this car?" She said, "I'd love to. I feel like I'm a teenager again." It was a 1963 Nova he had restored. It was just the cutest thing. So that was 2 years ago. In the last just year, he would stop by. It's wintertime. He'd stop by, and then he started saying, "Hey, Yvette, can I pray for you?" And then he'd wait about a month later. "Yvette, can I pray for you?" He'd come and fix something. He's also a handyman. He goes, "Hey, Yvette, can I pray for you?" That was a yes. So he would pray just any old thing. And then he'd come back. And so this is, okay, short side of the story is they built a friendship, and he would come over and he would pray with her, and she would say, "Would you pray for me?" And she's looking bad, ladies and gentlemen. Turned out, I didn't know, she had lung cancer and went into her stomach, and she's looking bad. And one day he said, it was in November, pardon the full picture of this. He says, "I'm on the potty. And the Lord says, you need to go visit her now." I go, "Lord, I've got business." "No, you need to go now." I was like, "Oh, too much information, Charlie." So he goes there to her house, and he says, "Yvette, would you like me to pray for you? Would you like to know Jesus as your Savior?" Shook her head. He said, "Now, Yvette, when we pray, Jesus will come into your life. He'll change your life, and heaven is going to be your new home." And she's this close to heaven. "Would you like to pray?" She said. So he prayed this prayer, and she kind of mumbled because she was really bad. I didn't realize that. And then she wasn't talking really good. She kind of pulled him on his sleeve, and she goes, "What do you want? What do you want, Yvette?" And she goes, "Pray it again." He's like, "Just pray it." He says, "You want to know that you know." So he prayed it again with her. She passed away 2 weeks to the day. And he's telling me that story last night, and I'm crying. I'm in the driveway crying. I go, I have lived in this neighborhood 31 years, and I've prayed for my neighbors, and it didn't look like nothing was happening. Pray. You pray. You pray believing. You pray believing that God's word is true. So how many of you have people that you know that need a Savior? Have neighbors, co-workers? Let's pray. Father God, stand up. Come on, you're going to be sitting down soon enough. Father God, we come to you this morning. We thank you for bringing Yvette home, bringing her home, Father, to your arms. We thank you that her whole family knew. They knew, and they know where she is, Father. And we thank you for my friend Charlie, and I'll figure out what his real name is. I thank you, Father, that he has been faithful to bring the good news. And Father, we lift up people and just call out their names. Father, we lift up so-and-so and so-and-so. We lift them up. And Father, you said to ask the Lord of the harvest. We ask you, Lord, to send laborers, Father, to send people of light that will bring good news. Not slamming them, Father, but telling them how much you love them. Father, we just thank you. We thank you. They're sent forth. And Lord, here we are. Send us, if we're one of those, Lord, to be people to build a gap, to fill the gap of love, and then to tell them how much you love them. And Father, we are confident that you've heard this word, and that it'll be so in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. You can have a seat. It's nothing to do with my message, but man, I cried my eyes out last night. Just blessed me so much. It encouraged me, because this is the lady that was into witchcraft. I was like, whoa. Oh, and then I thought about it. In the last 3 years, that's when she was diagnosed, and she got sweet, and she was asking about what really was truth. So the closer they get to the finish line, I think their hearts are bigger. Yeah, don't ever get turned off because they say no the first time. Go after them, right? Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Okay, hey, this is a great day to have church, isn't it? I'm telling you what, I'm so glad you're here. I'm going to clean my mascara up one more time. Praise the Lord. Last week we started a series we're doing on the power of our words. The power of our words, all right? And what did we talk about last week? Complaining. I said, hey, you should have a family discussion. Oh, nope. Nobody fighting one another over there. But you should ask, hey, what do you complain about? And if they don't tell you something, you could probably tell them something. So it's been a good make you think about things, about complaining. So I'm going to introduce my message today, starting with a story. This was long, long time ago in a far, far away place, actually York College. I was in my junior year in college, and I was studying to be an elementary ed teacher, and we'd visit schools, we'd help out, we had a clock so many hours, and then within our students, you know, my fellow students that were all studying the same thing, we would prepare a lesson, and we would present it before my peers. So it was my turn to present my lesson, and you know, you have to write a lesson plan and objectives and this and that, and I don't even remember all the stuff we had to do. So I presented it to the class, and then afterwards you'd meet with the advisor. Well, my advisor happened to be the head of the department, and we had a nickname for her. She wasn't very nice at all. So I'm meeting with you-know-who, and she launches in, and she goes, young lady, you look like you were dying up there. Your whole neck turned red and up your face. I'm like, thanks. Young lady, you talk way, way, way too fast. And young lady, I couldn't follow you half the time. Young lady, you know your presentation boards? We'd have these boards and stuff like that. It looks like a kindergarten put it together. I'm like, so... Okay, so I'm kind of, you know, the other part is, first off, this is before you could scan. So anything we did on our presentation boards, you'd have to go to the copy machine, and then you'd cut and paste it. Well, yeah, it looked like a kindergarten did it, but my printing was pretty good back then. So I was like, what are you, So she's kind of doing her thing, and then she just hits me right like the missile. And she said, young lady, I hope you're good at something else. I suggest you change your major because you'll never be a teacher. Okay, the story will get better. So today I want to talk about the power of your words. And specifically, we're going to talk about criticizing. Criticizing. So that's your topic. Write it down, criticizing. Now, I'm not talking about criticism when it's to help somebody along. You know, to give them some good input, to help them because you care about them. Okay, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the nitpicking, unkind, cruel criticism. That's a problem, all right? That's a problem. And, you know, some of you are sitting there right now going, yes! Pastor D, thank you so much. My spouse is here. They're finally going to hear it. Yes. Okay. Or else you're thinking, ooh, I'm going to get this message and take it to my boss because all they do is criticize me. The funny thing is, sometimes we do it and we don't even know it. Has anybody ever read the book by Joyce Myers, Me and my big mouth. Now, you notice it didn't say me and my lovely mouth or their mouth. The book's titled Me and My Big Mouth. Because you know what? A lot of times we don't even know we're criticizing people. Because we just think we know. So we can tell people stuff. Anybody? Don't raise your hand. Okay. So, such as... You know, you're looking at your neighbors and you're going, man, they are so dumb. Do you see all the things they buy? Oh my gosh, no wonder why their finances are in a mess. Nobody ever said that. And you know, first off, I know God has a hope and a plan and a future, but they need to listen to my plan because I have a plan and I can tell them. Because, I mean, come on. Sure is quiet in here. I guess I'm the only one that has that problem of criticizing. There, the rest of you guys are just the saints. Yeah. Okay, well, let's open up to the Bible real quick. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Woo! Praise the Lord. Galatians chapter 5. Praise God. You know, it's really interesting when I... It's an area I've worked on. I still do. I think some days I'm doing better. But, you know, when you're critical and criticizing, you look at people and you go, oh, my gosh. I'm just going to criticize them because I don't like the way they're raising their kids. I can say something because I don't like the way they dress. I can say something because, you know, gee whiz, did you see what they posted on Instagram? I can say something. I can say something. I can say something. And all that something is I start criticizing. And I think I should be able to say something because, for goodness sakes, you should listen to me. I got good plans. And that's kind of our excuse for criticizing. So, hey, you over at Galatians? All right, Galatians chapter 5, here we go. Now, this is a really popular verse, really popular. Even people that don't know the Lord Jesus probably know this. But I bet you most of them, or most of us, don't know what comes after this. So we're going to talk about the first part, that's the goodie, but then what comes after it. So we are at Galatians chapter 5, verse 14. Galatians 5, verse 14. This is the Apostle Paul. He's talking to followers of Jesus. He's talking to the saints. He's talking to Christians at church, this church, okay? So you can kind of put yourself and sit in that chair also, all right? So he says, ready? For the whole law can be summed up in one command. Love your neighbor as yourself, okay? Most of us know that. Most of us know that. You didn't even have to come to church. You know, love your neighbor as yourself, okay? But the second part, the but, you know, when the sentence starts with a but, you're going to get kicked. Here we go. But if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. Ooh, okay. So we all know love your neighbor. Everybody knows love your neighbor. And then he goes, watch out, watch out, watch out. Why did he say watch out? Because of our words that are criticizing. Our words that are really harsh, our words that are just kind of like that professor just tearing you to shreds. And he said, watch out for your words because they're destroying one another. Look at that person and say, one another. All right. Watch out for your words because they're destroying one another, all right? Now, some of you, maybe some of you, maybe somebody else in your family, your critical words are actually destroying your, how about the potential of your marriage? Thanks, Pastor D. Or if your words are critical and you're driving a wall between your kids because your words are critical, you got this... big wall. Or if your words are critical and therefore it hinders you sharing Jesus with people, the goodness of God, because all they hear is rah, 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 critical, 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 you know, tearing apart. All right, so praise God. That's why Paul wrote, be careful that the words out of your mouth aren't destroying people. Be careful. So everybody say, be careful. All right, be careful. Now, I'm going to give you another verse. Open up to Proverbs. This is what I call one of these contrasting verses. The first part will say something, and the second part says something totally opposite. It kind of contrasts. You'll see it when, you'll get it when I get there. Okay, Proverbs chapter 12. Say amen when you get there. If not, you can say it because they're popping up there. Amen, it's up there. Okay, Proverbs chapter 12. Okay, this is the one side. Ready? Some people make what? Some people... Oh, New Living. Okay, that's okay. Couldn't read my handwriting. Some people make cutting remarks. Some people make cutting remarks. Okay, a cutting remark. What's a cutting remark? All right, so your grandmother comes up to you and she says, "Hey, honey, did you lose your cell phone?" "Grandma, I didn't lose my cell phone. What's up?" "Well, you haven't called me in 2 weeks. You know, I could have been dead and nobody'd know." Cutting remark. A grandma burned. She gotcha. Okay, that's a cutting remark, right? If you're a grandma, put your head down. All righty. So, praise the Lord. So, cutting remarks. Some people make cutting remarks. Now, here's the other side. This is the total opposite. Look at this. "But the words of the wise bring healing." But the words of the wise bring healing. So we got some people that are, their words are hurting, they're cutting, they're tearing down, they're criticizing. But wise people, what do wise people's words do? They're going to heal you. They're going to lift you up. They're going to help you out. So it says, again, some people make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise bring healing. So the wise person's words don't tear people down. Don't tear people down. Wise people's words are going to help you out. You know, some days, man, I have been machine gun. I have dealt with problem after problem, and I could use a little help. Someone just give me a little help. Say something nice to lift me up, all right? So wise person, you're going to have words that heal. Now, turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. This is Paul, and he says it, same thing, just a little bit different. The same thing, but a little bit different. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Okay? Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to talk more about Paul, kind of like the guy. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 4, verse 29. "Do not." Don't you love when it starts like that? I was like, okay, I can figure this out. He always said, "Don't, do not, don't. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their need, that it may benefit those who listen." It'll benefit those who listen. So he's saying, hey, don't have unwholesome words. Don't have unkind words. Don't have cruel words. Don't have tear down words come out of your mouth, right? Pretty simple. Don't do that. And then don't tear people down with your words. Don't tear them down. And then he says, instead, what your words should do is they should be helpful to build people up. Be helpful to build people up. Be helpful. Your words should be helpful to bring to build people up for whatever's going on in their life. All right. All right. This is Pastor D. This is not the Bible. But I get around people that have this sarcastic humor. Number one, I don't get it. It's just like over my head. But most of the time, I don't feel good afterwards. And I had this discussion, Jack and I, years and years and years ago. Oh my gosh, 30 years ago. We were actually at a conference, and the MC person, they had two guys that would get up and do the mic and introduce what was going to go on the day. And the two of them were up there, and they were just kind of doing the ho-ho-ho missile shooting. Shh, shh. And I said to Jack that night, I said, man, something on the inside doesn't feel good by listening to these guys. Now, it was humorous, but it was sarcastic, and it was putting the people down. In front of we were in this large auditorium. So my word, so after that, number one, I don't always understand your jokes or your sarcasm, but I'll get this. Were those words tearing that person down? Was your little ho, ho, ho at the expense of me tearing me down? And besides, I didn't get it all the time. But I became really conscious of this scripture. Let no unwholesome word, right, come out of your mouth, but only words that are going to build up others for the need of the moment. Praise the Lord. So I want to give you your big idea that I want you to understand more clearly than you've ever gotten today. You'll remember it by the time you get to the parking lot and you get home. You ready? The main idea. This is it. Really simple. Are your words a life taker or are your words a life giver? Are the words out of your mouth a life taker or your words a life giver?
Real simple. You just keep that in your brain all week. And if you forget, your spouse will go, okay? So are your words a life taker or a life giver, all right? So I have to say this. You have no idea what one word, one criticism can do to somebody's soul, their emotions, okay, for years. For years, right? You have no idea what your words could actually do to somebody. And on the other hand, you have no idea how God can use your words to build somebody up, to encourage them, to put hope in them, to put faith in them, to put them back on the plans that God has. You have no idea that your words could be doing that. All right, isn't that awesome? Now, Proverbs 12, we said some people make cutting remarks. Guess what that makes them? They are a taker of life. They're taking life, okay? Some people are cutting with their words, but it says the wise bring healing. That means they're given life. When your words are given life, man, you can tell. It's just awesome. All righty, so remember my dear professor, the head of the department, that just, you know, I got it while she was giving me first constructive criticism on how to do things better. But the last three were criticism that were taking life. Listen, I started doubting what I knew I was supposed to do. Every ounce of insecurity was all over the place. It was bad. And I really was considering changing my major. So I sucked it up and stood with it. And that next semester, I was given an advisor. A new guy, and I was going to call him an old guy, but I guess that would be me, old anyway. So he was older than I, and he's a big white hair guy, and his name, I can't say names, because you never know what people hear, but anyway, we had to do another presentation, and afterwards, I got called in, and this is what he said that was so much different, because listen, he was a wise man. His words that he was going to speak now were going to bring healing to me. Okay, because I just was losing it, this whole thing. And he goes, hey, you know what, Dee? You can only get better from here. I'm ready to lose it. I'm ready, you know, I know he said it. I'm about fighting the tears back. And he says, you know, you made some mistakes, but let's talk about what you did that was good. All of a sudden, yeah. He says, you know, when you said this, when you're teaching your lesson, he says, I never thought of that way. That was outstanding. Oh, yeah, I was feeling a little lifted up there. And then he said something like, while you were talking, everybody had their attention. Or you had everybody's attention. He said, that's darn right a miracle. I'm like, whoa. And he says, I know you talk too fast. But he says, you know what? When I hear you talking fast, that's because of passion. I hear passion inside of you. And he said this. He said, you can't teach passion. He says, you're going to make a great teacher. I could have cried. The only thing that was a happy cry. Okay, so listen. Some people's remarks are just cutting. And others people's, your words are going to bring life. And listen, doubt. I was doubting myself. That went out the door. Insecurities, a good bunch of them went out the door, okay? All because somebody was speaking words of encouragement. He could find, listen, I'm pretty sure he had to look really hard to find some good things to say because I was pretty pitiful at that point teaching, all right? But he found it, and man, I was like, great. So guys, listen, words have the power of life. They're either going to take life, okay, or they're going to give life. So we got to watch what we say. We got to watch what we say. Praise God. Can someone say amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right, I have a question. Really, we can write this down. What kind of person do you want to be? What type of person do you want to be? What kind of, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? Not that one, but what kind of person do you want to be? All right, I'm going to give you option one and option two. Option one, ready? A fault finder. A fault finder. And, you know, quite honestly, most of us kind of can tend to do that. And what we do is we start looking for the wrong before we even look for the right in a person. We're looking for all their mess ups and things that we don't like instead of trying, before we even find one good thing
All right? So most people kind of tend to do that. And you know, it's so funny. You can take a relatively good person, and if you are a fault finder, before lunch comes, you have found every fault in them. Right? You just like, well, that's all you see. If you're a fault finder, okay? So I found out I was a fault finder, a critical, criticizing person. It became really aware to me. I was at an airport, and I had this like 3-hour layover, and there's only so many times you can do the loop and walk and walk and walk and walk. And then I'm sitting down, got a cup of coffee, I'm sitting down, and I do people watching. Oh, my gosh. I can't believe that girl wear that. That is a bad outfit. That's even indecent. Oh, my gosh. Okay, you'll like this, all you people. And for real, you're bringing your dog. Are you kidding me? All right. And I would tell you more, but you wouldn't think too much of me. I started realizing I am a critical person. Huh, and I didn't like it. And listen, if you're married, be careful. Be careful, because it is so easy to start picking, like, I don't like the way you talk. I don't like the way you walk. I don't like the way you breathe. I don't like the way you snore. And you're laughing because some of you have had that conversation, right? It's all like a roll that you can't stop of criticizing. So you got to watch it. Be careful, be careful, be careful. And listen, you don't have to be married. You can go to work. Oh, my gosh, my boss. Did you see what she posted? Gosh, ridiculous. And I don't like the way she runs her meetings. I mean, I don't think this company has a plan. And you start criticizing. Or, those neighbors. I can't believe the way they raise their kids. You might as well just put them in prison because, you know, the way they're raising them, they'll be in prison. You start that criticize. Or, oh, I don't like the way they drive. They better take that bumper sticker of Jesus off their car because they're going to be such a bad witness. Don't get behind my car. Praise the Lord. You know, it doesn't matter. You can easily find things to be critical of people. It's just, you can get on a roll. Okay, so here's the deal, people. Do you want to be a fault finder, finding fault, like the Pharisees? Man, those guys they got an A at it. That's what they loved to do. They were very critical of people. And it's interesting. They were supposed to be, well, they were. They were the religious, you know, representing God, and yet they were so critical. And not only were the Pharisees really fault finders, do you know who else is like king fault finder? The devil. The devil is, he's got it, okay? What are some of his names? He's called the deceiver. He's called the father of lies, the prince of darkness. He's called the accuser of the brethren, day and night, the accuser. Which means he's going, I see your fault. I'm telling you your fault. You did this wrong. And he's just accusing you. He is the fault finder. Okay, so you can be like the Pharisees were, or you can be like the devil. And you know, it's easy to get in that. But I don't want to do that. So what do you want to be? Do you want to be a fault finder? No way. So then I had to think, why do people find fault? Why do people accuse? Why do people criticize? Why do people tear people down instead of pick them up? So I came up with three. Number one is my all-time favorite. Ready? Pride. Pride. And you know, pride, it means I think I know more than you do. I know more, so I can criticize you because I know more. That's pride. That's really stinky. The second one is insecure. And that's what you'll see many, many times. The things that you criticize is usually the things you're very insecure about. Not always, but a lot of times you'll see that. And the last one, number three, is because we just don't understand. You are criticizing something way down there that you don't know nothing about. Case in point, back in my days, I'd see parents at the grocery store with a 2-year-old, okay? And I would criticize these parents on how lousy job they're doing with their kids at the grocery store, and they're just, these kids are having a temper tantrum. You know why I criticize them? Because I didn't know nothing. I didn't have any kids yet. I didn't have kids, and I just thought, oh my gosh, this parent doesn't know anything about parenting, and this kid is pitiful, all right? I didn't know nothing until I had 4 kids.
Number one, Ruth Cashman, thank you for taking my kids Tuesday morning so I could go to the grocery store without them. Phew. But prior to that, I would take kids to the grocery store. And you know what I learned? You cannot negotiate with a terrorist. Became real smart, all right? And there were times I'm like, I would be exhausted. I don't care if this is bad parenting. You can have the candy. I wanted to yell. I didn't say this. Shut up. Stop crying. Let's get to the car before anybody else looks at us. Okay? Anybody ever a little critical on that? Yep. Okay. But listen, after I had the second, I didn't judge no more. I didn't judge parents. Matter of fact, I see parents and I go, can I help you? Can I give them a candy? All right? Okay? Why? Because I don't judge because I didn't understand what y'all were going through. All right? It is easy to judge when you really don't know. You don't know. All right? So, when you criticize, shred, tear down, okay? A lot of times what we're thinking is, hey, I know a whole lot. You know? I know stuff. I'm like the expert. Okay, no, you're not the expert. And you know what? I'm ahead of myself. You don't. And you know what it makes you look like? It makes you look like, well, it shows all your insecurities, and it shows you're so mean. You're just mean-spirited when you're criticizing people. Just mean. Just see that look? You're just mean, okay? Now, ask yourself, how many of you, when you grow up, want to be that critical person you know? When I grow up, I want to be just like them. Anybody want to do that? No, I don't want to grow up and be a critical person. I don't like that. You want to take them home and be just like them? No, nobody wants to be that way, right? If not, see me after, come up front for prayer, okay? Now, I'm going to give you a scripture in the Bible about criticizing, and please don't criticize me. I'm only repeating the Word of God, okay? Open up to Proverbs. While you're getting there, if you're of the male species, when I read this scripture, look straight ahead. Do not say amen at the end of it, because your life will be over, okay? And then I'm just reading you the Word of God. I'm not giving you my opinion, all right? Proverbs 21:19. Most of you ladies already know this. And you guys, remember, just look straight ahead. Don't nudge anybody. Here we go. It is better to live alone in the desert than with a quarrelsome, complaining wife. God bless the reading of the word. Right? Now, you're not allowed to add scriptures to the Bible. The Bible says nothing. You can't add anything. But if I were to be able to add something, it would be 1 Cashman 2:19. And it would go, it is better to have bamboo shoots up your fingernails than to live with a man who is constantly picking you apart. Okay? That's the girl version of the guy version of the girl version. Okay? But really, that scripture, it is better to live alone in the desert than with a quarrelsome, complaining person. It goes both ways, right? How many of you want to take them home with you? The scripture says you don't. But how many want to bring that quarreling, complaining person home? You don't, okay? Whew. So, I want to ask you, okay, those of you who, like me, have battled being critical because you just were stupid and dumb and didn't know better and you just thought you knew everything. Here's my question. Do you want to be a fault finder or a hope dealer? Hope with an H, not a drug dealer, a hope dealer, okay? Hope dealer. Do you want to be a hope dealer? H-O-P-E, hope dealer, all right? Hope dealer. Do you want to be a hope dealer? Okay, turn over to Romans chapter 15. This, again, is the Apostle Paul. I'm going to make him like the king hope dealer. Ready? Romans 15, verse 13. Again, we have two options. You want to be a faith finder or a hope dealer? This one has to do with hope. Ready? Paul says this in Romans. He says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. Why? So you may overflow with hope
by the power of the Holy Spirit. Awesome. Paul is a chief hope dealer. Every time you read stuff by him, every time you hear him speak, he wasn't tearing people to shreds. He was offering hope to them. He was offering hope to them. All right? And he's the one that wrote, "Let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth, but that which is going to build other people up for what they need at that time." All right? Open up to, or just flip back to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. You read all of Paul's writings, and you're just going to hear this guy who loved to build you up with hope and just, he was like chief hope dealer. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. "For there is now no condemnation for those who were in Christ Jesus." Man, I read that and I go, man, I got hope again. They're not condemning me. I'm in Jesus. There's no condemnation. Doesn't that put hope in you? That puts hope in you. The next verse, jump down to verse 26. It says, "The Holy Spirit helps you in your weakness." Thank you. I have hope again. I got the Holy Spirit that's going to help me. All right. Verse 27 says, "Jesus makes intercession for me at the right hand of God." Woohoo! I have hope. I'm reading in Romans 8. I'm just picking out scriptures. It's okay. You're cool. Everybody's like, don't worry about it. All right. I'm giving you hope. Hang in there. Just write it down. Go study. Lunchtime conversation. Go read Romans 8. All right. Jump down to verse 37. It says, "No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us." Oh, man, I got hope. I don't care what you're going through. I'm more than a conqueror because of Jesus. That put hope in me. All right? The rest of it says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will ever separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus." I have hope. It just builds hope in me. It's so good. It's just so good, all right? Now, fault finders, the Pharisees, not good. The devil, fault finder, not good. Jesus, hope builder, good, right? He's good. He's good. He puts hope in us. Now, I love all the metaphor names for Jesus. He is the good shepherd. He's the gate. He's the bread of life. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And then he's First Timothy, he says that Jesus is our hope. Titus, it says Jesus is our blessed hope. First Peter, Jesus is the living hope. That is awesome. How many of you have Jesus who lives in your heart? Then you got hope, baby. You got hope. You got hope. Praise the Lord. So think about those Pharisees. Whenever anybody messed up, whenever anybody sinned, what were they doing? You sinned. I'm accusing you. There's your fault. They'd go like this. Well, the law says you sinned. You sinned. And then Jesus comes along, right? Jesus comes along, and he is just the opposite. He does point out sin, but then he puts hope into you, and he says, "Then you don't have to live in that bondage of sin." He'll recognize the sin, but then he says, "You don't have to be that way." He puts hope back in you. How many of you know the story of the woman caught in adultery? Write down, I'm not going to read it to you, John chapter 8. So here we got this woman caught in adultery, doing what she shouldn't be doing, and they drag her. I always go, where the heck is the guy? Takes two to do this. Okay, but they drag this lady, right? And they throw her in the middle of a crowd where Jesus is. What a fun day for her, right? They throw her down there. And what do those Pharisees do? Right away, they got their stones, like, the law says she sinned. We need to stone her. They're like quick to point out her fault, her sin. And yes, was it a sin? Yeah. And they're like ready. They probably have it like ready, aim. Jesus is there. And you know what he does? Kneels down. How many saw Passion of the Christ? What's he doing? He's kneeling down and he's writing in the dirt. Today he'd have his tablet. Now, we don't know what they wrote. And I had fun just reading different scholars and what they said, Bible scholars. And I tend to agree with them. This is what they believe, okay? He's listing sins. And he's listing all of the Pharisee sins, okay? And what happened? You know, what happened? Well, let me say, whatever he wrote, it did it, right? Whatever he wrote, and they're... You know, they didn't have the big screen, but they're writing there. Jesus didn't call out sin specifics, but he's writing something. And whatever it was, we started to have the walk of shame. And it says, one by one, from the oldest to the youngest, they did the walk of shame and they were out of there, right? Okay. Then Jesus looks up at that lady who is broken, full of shame, and he says, hey, where are the fault finders? Where are your accusers? Where are those that have condemned you? And she goes, they're none. They're all gone. They're all gone. And what does Jesus do? Well, he says, he does point out, he says, sin no more. And then he offers hope. Like, listen, lady, there's a better life. There's a life that is so much better. There's forgiveness. All right. Jesus always offers hope. He is a hope dealer. Hallelujah. All right. So, question. Who do you want to be? A fault finder like those Pharisees, like the devil, who's called the prince of darkness, the deceiver, the accuser? Do you want to be like that? Or who is Jesus? Well, he's the way, he's the truth, the light. He's our hope. He's the living hope. He's the blessed hope. Golly, gee whiz, I want to be a hope dealer. Anybody want to be a hope dealer? So option number two, I want to be a hope dealer. That's how you answer your question, all right? I want to talk about a hope dealer. Years ago, it's probably the first time I went to, maybe the second time I went to Jamaica, and we were visiting Bob and Mary Holland. How many of you remember them? They were here about a month or so ago. And I was asking Bob, so, you know, they would take boys. The center.